Children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul the key. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul the key.
Hello, and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And the show is brought to you by starlights.com. That's starlights.com. And also by alternativecancer.us. These are wonderful sponsors. So if you haven't checked them out, please do check them out. At Starlights, you'll find all kinds of cool new agey products and music to relax with and things like that, and notices of events. And on alternativecancer.us, you will find close to or over 1,000 pages of information about how to deal with cancer in a natural manner, and also how to test for which treatments are going to work for you. So it's a pretty inclusive site, and you might want to check that out. And this week, now this is going to be fun, because I have Dr. Lenny Time back on as my co-host, and I have Lloyd Meir on as our guest. And I'm going to start off first by saying, I don't have anything to sell, but anyway, I do want to welcome you to the show, guys. So welcome Dr. Lenny and welcome Lloyd.
Thank you very much.
Good to be here again.
Yeah, this is going to be really fun. And one of the things that I'd like to start with is, Lloyd, if you would explain how you came upon creating your manual of frequencies, what it is, a little bit of a background about yourself, and then Dr. Lenny and I will start chiming in and asking you some questions as you explain the manual.
Yeah, well, a manual is a byproduct of a realization of what the reality is out there, and I basically started out dealing with it. I come from the civil engineering field, and I took on the job of figuring out how specifically gold nuggets were being formed in streams. And I had a gold mining operation in northern Canada. I'm actually a Canadian and U.S. citizen, born in Canada to a U.S. mother. So I have both citizenships. Now, what I did is that I determined that gold was not being formed by the breaking down of structures that had gold metal in them, and the gold was left to be salvaged. Gold nuggets actually are developed by the energy of energized in the water. The water basically has a memory, and it picks up energies as it flows down its water course. And under certain conditions, all the specific energies that are required to bring together the energy to form a particle of gold happens to be there. Now, as long as all those particles are in contact with the water, you have the development of gold taking place at some point, or numerous points, if you like. But once that any one of those components basically is no longer touching the water as the summer comes on and the water flow drops, then the production of gold quits. And I was able to prove that in so many cases, and then had systems set up with plastic pipe and whatnot, so the water flowed through various stages and into various formations of rock that I had placed in these plastic columns. And then I had a collecting tube on the very end where the water ran through, and by this time it had developed into a metallic form and loaded on the collector, and I was able to take the collector and ash it down and ultimately smelt it and produce metal.
And
So I started to really understand that it's all energy, and mm-hmm. that all energy really is nothing more than a variation of frequencies. And so I determined that these frequencies were, in fact, basically controlled by mathematics, and that every frequency is mathematically a result. The frequency is a result of a mathematical consequence, and that is how I got my basic knowledge. Out of that time frame, I also developed some serious heart conditions on myself and ultimately had to be treated medically for those conditions, and as I returned to better health, I started to pursue the health end of this whole program rather than concentrating on the development of the metal end of it. And that is where the onset of the manual has come in, where I have learned how to develop a number to treat a certain consequence in the body, and I basically have recorded that, and our manual is made up of nothing but numbers and an explanation what the numbers are for. Mm-hmm. And that is an ongoing project as I treat people daily and come across new hurdles to overcome, and changes in the virus is a, probably a good example. A virus that might be very prevalent today and the main culprit that's affecting people, you may find a month or two from now it no longer exists. It's another virus, another variation that is causing the problem. And you may,
well,
and
that, that makes sense as far as flu goes, because flu mutates from person to person. So that's why the flu vaccines don't work. And I think that this rapid change that's happening now, because I've noticed, you know, as a physician, that things are changing so quickly with the flu virus. And, you know, people are getting rid of one, and, you know, next week they've got another one, and it's really
right.
The same thing. But it's just mutating, and they're passing it all back and forth. So everybody just needs to stay home, you know.
Well,
but this is fascinating. You're right on,
but that's exactly what happens. And these various conditions learn to change enough that they can exist. And so whatever you are battling, a flu situation or a viral situation, may very well be effective today, and then all at once, as you point out, you get a reoccurrence, and the thing has gone and mutated off track a bit so it can survive, and it's got you sick again.
Yep.
So it's basically an ongoing battle, and of course viruses have been around possibly forever, and basically we've been attacking them forever.
Yeah, and vice versa.
It isn't quite so pronounced in a bacteria. A bacteria is a little more stable in its form, and I'm not too sure that a virus is actually a physical thing. In my opinion, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we could determine the virus is really just a blob of energy.
You know, I wrote a paper on viruses years ago that I used to have as a PDF download, and one of the things that I noticed is viruses do not look organic at all. They
yeah.
are mechanical. They're like little kind of nano robots. And so I'm just wondering, now I've got a lot of thoughts running around in my head, but I'm not the chemist. Dr. Lenny is the chemist. And
uh-huh.
so I'm gonna let Dr. Lenny go ahead and you know, lead from now on and talk about all these points, because my head is swimming with too many things like manifesting gold out of water. I'm familiar with the fact that does happen with the right angles and the right, you know, sluices and everything else. But I think that has a real tie-in with the whole viral angle, because viruses are not organic. So, Dr. Lenny, if you would take it away, I would appreciate
sure.
that.
Sure. The first thing I want to ask, Lloyd, do the number sequences generate frequencies? Is that how things work?
If you want to look at it that way, or they are the frequency. But let's assume that the number appears first and the frequency develops later, or in fact you are basically identifying the frequency mathematically. Who knows? It's a chicken and egg
so
situation.
So would you be able to get other elements out of water with different number sequences?
I'm sure you could.
Okay. Yeah. And what's the concentration of the gold recovered? How many gallons of water did you pass through the system to get how much gold?
It varies, of course, from stream to stream and source. But I think some of my better ones was I produced about an ounce and a half of metal out of 10,000 gallons.
Okay. At those concentrations, I know of other people who are working or doing similar in collecting gold out of water, so there's no surprise there. Are you familiar with Ormus chemistry?
Yes.
Does the gold that you recover and use in a healing capacity, is that an Ormus state, or is that just a normal state of gold?
Well, you've got a wide range of frequencies and isotopes in every mineral family, and there's only one, virtually the only one, in each mineral family that is an energetic isotope. And that energetic isotope is the ingredient that in the manufacturing or the creation of gold is absolutely necessary to be that particular isotope. Now, there can be as many as 20 or 22 isotopes in each mineral family, but there's only one of them.
Sure, the isotopes just differ from each other by the count of the neutrons that are in the nucleus.
Well, you're getting into the scientific field now, and I'm not in the scientific field. I'm in the practical field.
That was more for the listeners who are listening, so they understand what an isotope is.
Yeah, I explain an isotope as a family member. You are an isotope of your family. So to simplify it, without getting too technical, I say an isotope is one of 22 members, say, of the calcium family. Isotope 46 happens to be the one that is good for the human body. Isotope 50 and 51 are the predominant ones, but they basically feed us as supplements, and they're useless to the human body. They're not energy. They're in a material state. And the
so the energy is actually derived from having an inappropriate ratio of protons to neutrons.
I don't get into that part of it.
Okay.
That is not my world. I'm not suggesting it isn't the reality, but I'm not familiar enough to talk about it in its scientific form.
Sure. In the Ormus chemistry that I asked about, Ormus stands for orbitally rearranged monoatomic elements. Mm-hmm. And really, if you're using a bulk gold, something that you can see as is gold, you're already well past the Ormus state. But the monoatomic state is created by using silica to separate the individual atoms of the gold. And we can make gold Ormus that just works great as, well, I think it works as a water organizer. It structures
water is
so that it makes
component.
It easier for the waters to move around in biological systems.
Yeah, water is absolutely the necessary host to make this work. And that's why you have veins, and you can perhaps picture a quartz vein that may have gold in it. But if you were to understand it from my point of view, on, say, the right-hand side of that quartz vein, you may very well have the energy of iron, and you may very well have hydrogen 2, you may have hydrogen 3, you may have aluminum isotope 28, and on the other side, on the left-hand side, you may very well have other components that are necessary to make up the gold that is in between them.
Okay, so you're saying that the gold is created
by the
fusion of elements?
You guys are, whoa, hang on a second. You guys are stepping all over each other there. Can you hear each other very well?
Well, I can hear, but
okay.
I'm not hearing it well. But
okay.
I'm sorry if I'm talking over him. I didn't hear that he was talking.
Yeah, that's give yourselves a couple seconds, you know, and listen carefully before you start responding because you're both talking at the same time.
Yeah, so go ahead,
maybe,
doctor.
Yeah, so,
okay, so
yeah, go ahead.
Are you saying that the gold is formed by the fusion of other elements within the water?
I'm not using the word fusion, but I'm not suggesting that may not be a topical term. But how I appear to understand it is that these energies are all basically part of a formula. There may be as many as 13 to 15 specific energies required before you will get a particle of gold, which will be micron in size, developed. And that micron, of course, has got a valence of 3, which makes it basically attractive to its own kind. And these little particles come together, and that particle of gold gets larger and larger and larger. And that's how nuggets are formed, and that's how gold in gold structures, veins, if you like, are formed, is that it's particle upon particle upon particle. The bringing together of these commonly required energies in the correct isotopic energetic form.
Well, it's interesting to note that the silica we use when we make ormus in a laboratory is the same silica material as found in quartz.
Yeah, it's the isotope 10.
And
silica, the isotope of silica that is the energetic isotope is isotope 10.
Okay.
And that's one of the essential ingredients in the whole formula.
So you have a formula that you can make gold by dialing knobs on an instrument and tuning the energies?
But the theory is there that should be able to happen if you have identified all the right components. And I don't believe that I have done it in an identifiable form. I've done it where I've taken rocks from streams that do produce gold, and I've got a history of basically contributing to the pattern and taking them and putting them into a captive system where, in fact, you've got only part of the formula making the thing. So you add the missing components as you know it to that formula to make gold out of that water. Now, what do we not know that's also in those rocks? That's the question, as to what do you not know? Although you're getting the benefit of it in running these tests, you don't know what is giving you the benefit necessarily.
Yeah, and the order of magnitude that we have of elements present in the water is probably on the order of 10 to the minus 20th. Just not something that happens in macroscopic form that we can physically see happening if we, say, sequestered a certain portion of a stream and watched it for 10 years.
Well, the point being is that the energetic isotopes that I speak of are not material. I'm absolutely convinced there's nothing material about them. They don't exist in a material state. They're strictly in an energetic state. They're like like the electricity that's lighting up the light bulb, my light here. It's not in a material state if you want to look at it as strictly a form of energy that's ultimately producing the light. And I do believe that these energies are non-material. They're just strictly a form of energy, although they're part of a family, but they're the specific isotope of that mineral family that's in the energetic state. And as far as food is concerned, the plant does not pick up a chunk of rock and take it up into itself in the form of a mineral. The mineral that it does pick up is the rain or the irrigation as it goes down through the soil gets energized. So you basically get energy into the water, which feeds into the plant, and ultimately we have now got minerals in the plant. But they're not in a material form. They're in an energetic form only, and as you eat that plant, you get the benefit of the mineral. Now, you can also take that mineral and put it on the outside of the bottle, and basically fill the bottle up inside, and the energetic isotope will pass through the wall of the bottle into the inner fluid. But The isotopes that are not energetic will not do that. They're material in form. The material can't make it through the wall of the bottle, but the energetic isotope can.
I suppose that the sum of the various different isotopes yields different metals, or does it always sum up to gold?
I don't know the... I'm not too sure that I can speak for all metals. I think it's a much bigger term, but certainly gold and perhaps the platinum metals fit the pattern that I'm talking about.
Okay, the platinum metals all have Ormus states also, and somehow I think that the Ormus state that I'm talking about and the non-material energetic states that you're talking about are likely the same state.
I would likely think so.
Yeah, and if we can approach it through the energetics of physics, through the ability of engineering to create things, and also through a scientific laboratory, I would say we probably have separate confirmation of the same phenomena.
Well,
if there's anything I can do as a chemist, Lloyd, to help you identify things, let me know.
Well, the point is I'm not working in the metallurgical field anymore. I abandoned that and sort of took on the health field, only to find out that we're not any different. We're very, very similar in so many ways that all we do is use the energy of the mineral. We do not take a chunk of a rock and somehow or other ingest it in our system and it ends up in our bloodstream. Forget it. It isn't happening that way. What is happening is the energy is basically going into the bloodstream, and you're basically getting the benefit of the energetic rock by its donation of energy, but you're not getting any part of the particle. So it's not a material real. It's not a material world at all. We are, in my opinion, an electrical system. We are primarily water, and we basically operate on energy, which is that particular isotope of all the minerals that we consume that are in an energetic state.
Well, there is a lot of science that goes into depth that talks about the equivalence of matter and energy. Einstein's famous formula E equals mc squared says that the difference between matter and energy is just the speed that you have the matter moving at. If it's moving fast enough, it takes the form of energy as opposed to being a form of matter. But our perspective of science as we're taught in schools these days, which I do not necessarily agree with, specifically says that matter has to come from somewhere. And the way I've always looked at the way IO works is through an exchange process where there's a trade between different symbiotes that work in tandem with each other. Like, for instance, mycelium from mushrooms have an ability to take those metals out of the rock that we don't eat, but then transfer it in an exchange where they give it to plants and trees, and in return they receive sugars that enable them to put more mass onto the mushroom. So there's a lot of things that I think beg for a better explanation in science, but at this point, I don't think that we have enough to go on to take the number frequencies and scientifically translate them into elements. That being said, I think if you've got different isotopes of elements worked out as to be energies, and these sum of the energy is equivalent to a gold, and that gold is produced in very low concentration in a hyper electrified state. There's no question in my mind that the key factor in water is its polarity and the fact that it lines up and can transmit electricity. I'd even go to say that our physical form is not at all what it appears to be, and that we take this physical form because it's the only way of interacting in a three-dimensional universe. If we can expand our thought into a five-dimensional universe, it makes total sense that different frequencies of light would bear different energies that, in sum, can make different products depending on how they're combined.
Well, I have no argument in anything you're saying. I'm basically stuck in my world. I basically have a gift. I look at it as a gift that I'm a dowser. I don't get my information from anybody but a higher source. I just ask the question. I hold a rod in my hand. The rod moves, it says yes. If the rod doesn't move, it says no. I keep myself out of the answering process, and I basically ask questions. So a lot of my answers don't come from me or anything that's published. It comes from that source. I do believe perhaps everything that's ever been known on Earth is perhaps in the outer area of the Earth, if you want to look at it as an information belt that perhaps is forms part of the atmosphere of the Earth, and everything to be known is in there. It's a matter of accessing it and getting it out and being able to ask the right questions to get it out. But that is just my own theory, and that is the world I live in. And when I do people to try to assist them in getting their bodies in balance, and that's what my whole program is basically body balancing, and that is to get your mathematics square. And I look at the human body much like a radio. You turn the radio to a certain number on the dial, and you get it on a station, you'll hear a program, and you can understand the program, and there's no static. You know, turn it slightly one way or the other, turn the dial slightly one way or the other, and you end up with static either way, and you can't hear the program anymore. And the body is exactly the same. It is a mathematical reality that your body is functioning at various frequencies, and if you get those frequencies out of balance, you're into static. And that particular function is not functioning adequately. It's a matter of getting it back into frequency and clearing up the static so it can contribute its part to your health. That's the theory that I work under.
Well, there certainly are quantum effects that cannot be explained in physical dimensions of what we have now. And I believe that the key to understanding is to believe in your belief. And so I'm not going to attempt to burst any bubbles, because if you doubt your dowsing, you can't douse anymore. And that doesn't make any sense to bring up questions, because it obviously works the way you think it works for you.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, and you can use many different ways of accessing the information that's out there. People do it by all kinds of variations. I happen to have developed this specific program that works for me. And I really developed it when I was in the mining field to measure the energies in the earth that I had determined were necessary to contribute to the development of metal, development more specifically of gold and platinum metals. And so I was able to read that with my dowsing, that those, or at least some of those energies, were present. And that allowed me to put together as complete a package as I could and have them all basically contribute to a flow of water and ultimately strip the water of whatever I had managed to create or nature had created, and then smelt that down, and I'm going to take and put the chunk of metal in your hand today. Mm-hmm. And so to the extent that we produce metal out of water, there was nothing else in the process other than water. Now, water intermingled along the way with its own energy coming into the system, and we always worked with water that had some of the major components, and then we added those pieces that we could identify were still needed, and that basically brought us to a finished product. What What all of those components were, I can't tell you. I can name about 13 of them, and then beyond that, I haven't got any idea what else might have been there to make that happen.
It's all about the eye of Newt, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of that way in the physical body, too, because, you know, people are similar, but we're all different. We're all different little biochemical factories. And so, you know, I'm familiar with using Lloyd's numbers. Basically, when I was going through some of my health challenges a couple years ago, a friend of mine said, hey, you ought to call this guy up, and he has this number system, and, you know, he'll give you some numbers. And I said, okay. So I did, and basically, Lloyd, if you would explain how you work with people with the numbers, I have had the experience, listeners, and I can tell you it's quite interesting. You can feel the difference in your body immediately. So Lloyd, if you would explain how you work with people a little bit, that would be great.
The number system is developed primarily, let me do that first, is that I ask the question, and let's assume we're basically treating our host and our hostess. And I determine that you are out of balance because I asked the question, do you have a virus? And my rod moved and said yes. Okay, is there a number or numbers that will eliminate the virus? And the rod may say no when it doesn't move, or it says yes and it does move. And if it moves and says yes, I say, give me those numbers. And the rod will move a very small yes, and I can start counting 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, and the rod is dead still. And I'll get up to, if it's a virus I'm fighting, it'll be somewhere over 90. And so I say, I get up to 95, and the rod starts to move. Yes, 96, yes, 97, yes, 98, yes, 99, and stops. Okay, the first number is 98. I do the same thing, and I do the next two numbers, and then the next two, and the next two, until I have 11 digits. Then I basically read myself and perhaps my wife, if she's handy, and we both have that number, but we don't have a virus. I check Valerie, and she doesn't have that number. That means that she's gone and lost her frequency of protection in her body, and it's gone off to one side or the other. So I have her read that number over and over again, generally about 7 times. And as she does that, she is sending an intention to her body. What we do not understand, Bobby, about the body is it understands intention. Now, that intention can be in the form of mathematical numbers. It can be in the form of chemicals and put into pharmaceuticals. It can be color therapy. It can be music. It can be prayer. It can be so many things that send an intention to the body. And depends on how clearly you're able to send that intention, how effective you are at getting the body to respond. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, that makes sense to me because I work with frequencies. And and I can tell you also that sometimes, and maybe it's, again, due to the biochemical differences, but sometimes the frequencies will work like gangbusters, and then other times they won't work at all. It's just slightly off. And then maybe they'll kick in again, you know, a little bit later. And because we are such complex beings, I surmise that the reason for that is having to do with some environmental cause. You know, like perhaps we're in an area that that's setting up too strong of an EMF field, or we're getting you know, too much of a wave of radiation, which we've all been getting since Fukushima happened. But I can, for instance, I can stand outside the front door with the radiation detector, and I can watch waves of this stuff coming. And you can see it. It pegs the meter at times. And this is what's going on every day. So I'm thinking that the part of the problem when the numbers don't work has to do with that.
Absolutely. Yeah. No question about it. And it becomes very difficult because I'm working on a telephone generally with people. We do some traveling, but most of my work is done on a telephone. And so I basically have got their voice, and I put an image on them and I sit them in a chair as if they were sitting in front of me here. And I basically need their voice to basically activate them to me. But you get these specific problems in specific areas that alter whatever the condition is. They've got a viral-like symptom, but it isn't answering, say, to the word virus, because it's basically it's a type of virus, similar to a virus, a form of virus, a type of virus, you know, a bacteria virus. So it's a combination sometimes, and you've got your answer is no better than your question.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And to develop the question is sometimes the biggest problem, is trying to figure out, okay, what is it you have? Sometimes you don't deal with identifying it at all. I did a recently did a person in Quebec City that was in a hospital, and he had kidney failure. And I said, do you have any idea what is going on? And he said, no. And I said, well, I can read your kidneys are very, very weak. And I said, well, let's just attack it from this point. I identified that the kidneys were weak. I said, okay, fine. Now, is there a number or number that will eliminate that is causing the kidneys to be weak? And my rod said, yes. So I developed that number, as I just described to you. And I developed the number and said, okay, and I checked myself. I had that number. My wife had that number. He did not. So I said, okay, read the number. And he read it about 10 times, and all at once his kidneys became strong. So I said, okay, fine, you should be fine. Keep doing that number 4 or 5 times a day, repeat it 7 times each time. 2 days later, he's out of the hospital. He phoned me up and thanked me for what I had done. I have no idea what the hell I did. No idea whatsoever. But what I was able to do is to basically get the gift that I have to identify that there was something wrong, and by developing this particular frequency, it would take care of what was causing the problem. But we never knew to this day what it was.
Lloyd, can people develop their own numbers, or is that a skill that only you can do with your dowsing rod?
Well, it's, to my knowledge, it's the only way, I'm the only one that I know of that can develop numbers. Now, I keep encouraging people to try and do it their own way, and they basically will phone me up and give me numbers, see if this number will do that or do this. I have not met anybody yet that had been very successful at developing a number that did what they were trying to achieve. I'm not suggesting. I'm not anything different than anybody else. I put my pants on the same way. But the fact is, I developed this insight, and I think that to some extent it requires that a person, whatever ability they have, can somehow get slightly into it or beyond it to basically take them to the next step. But I'd encourage everybody to try.
Well, I sometimes, in processes that I use, require random numbers to be generated. Mm-hmm. And rather than just create random numbers by myself, I'll usually take several different dice of different sizes, people are used to six-sided dice, but I have four-sided dice, eight-sided dice, 12-sided dice, 20-sided dice, and I even have a 100-sided die. But if I want to do something that I need a number sequence, I'll roll my dice and generate the number sequence.
Why not?
It sounds as though I might be able to generate numbers similar to how you generate the numbers with the dowsing rod. But how would I know if those numbers had any significance?
Well, that is where you have to have the ability. I never put a number into a person that I can't read in somebody that doesn't have the problem. In other words, I use myself, I use my children, I use my wife. So in other words, if I had developed a number that was going to get rid of your asthma. Now, my wife doesn't have asthma, so I would check her, and she has that number. So then I give I check you. You don't have it. So I go ahead, and I can read that you have asthma. So you go ahead and you read that number, and at some point, maybe time you've read it 5 or 6 times, all at once your asthma disappears. And all at once the number starts to appear. I can read that number in you.
It does get tough to breathe.
And once I can...
I'm sorry,
once you've got the number in you, then your asthma disappears.
Okay. So we can remote heal anybody in any location as long as they get the proper number sequence for the disimpairment that they're undergoing?
As best as we can describe their impairment, but it could be multi-impairment. And you're basically dealing with one aspect of it. You can identify asthma, but they may also have bronchitis or something else that isn't answering to asthma. So you get rid of the asthma, and they still basically have a problem. So now you've got to go back in and go, okay, you got bronchitis. All right, we got to do that one next. And so sometimes it's a matter of peeling the onion, if you like, taking off a layer at a time so you can get a view of what of the problem still being there.
Yeah, okay. I think if you identify, you know, your priority list, like that's what I do as a physician. When somebody sits in front of me and I get very complex cases, people are really sick a lot of times when they come to see me. Nobody's been able to figure them out. And they'll sit in front of me, and I'll go through things, and I'll go, wow, you know, this person could have 10 major things wrong with them. What I have to do is prioritize, which one do we have to deal with first? It's the most emergent. And I have to find out what's the underlying cause. What was the first domino that fell? And as soon as I find that domino that fell first, then everything else falls into alignment. So it sounds to me, Lloyd, like what you're doing is pretty much the same thing. You're just doing
same
it
idea.
With numbers. Yeah.
Yep. Same idea.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily even identify it as what the problem is in your profession, since you have that knowledge. I'm an engineer, so I don't have the knowledge of the body to work with, so I just deal with symptom. So the symptom is causing a weak kidney. Okay, what is causing the weak kidney? Is something causing that? And my answer is yes. Okay, give me a number to eliminate that cause. And I develop that number, and they do it, and the kidney is no longer weak. I have no idea what I did. You would have a better idea in your field because you dealt with something specific, perhaps, that you had in your equation. I don't have any knowledge in my equation. I just have a situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I find myself, I do what I call shotgun therapy. You know, I will throw everything at a person that I know has a chance to work, because intuitively I just know. In fact, I quit doing applied kinesiology testing a long time ago because I don't need to. My intuition's always right. But one of the things that I found years ago is it's the synergy. So, you know, it's like making a recipe, you know. You give them, like, you know, 45 minutes of acupuncture followed by, certain supplements followed by homeopathy, because now you have enough energy for the homeopathy to work on, which, by the way, as you're talking about this, it's like, okay, you're talking about the same thing as homeopathy, because homeopathy works on the energetic signatures of the substance, but it doesn't always work. And it's very frustrating to homeopaths because, you know, it's fabulous when it works, but when it doesn't work, it's like, okay, what happened? Well, what happens is what we've talked about before. It could be radiation, could be certain substances they've taken that negates that energy. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. So I found that the doing a synergistic shotgun blast out the back door kind of thing works, because I'm combining those energetic signatures of things at different levels. So some may be pure energy, like with the acupuncture and the homeopathy. Some may be the more gross forms of energy, such as supplements like calcium, magnesium, zinc, you know, whatever. Some may be plant energetics. Some may be, the intention energetics, because I work with energy healing as well. But if I combine all that stuff, sometimes that's the magic recipe that gets people well when nothing else has worked. Because if you piecemeal it, you're changing one part of the body, but you're not changing everything that needs to happen in order for total success to occur.
Well, that's part of our water. The theory behind our water product is it has all the necessary building blocks that we can identify into the water. So when you drink a glass of water, you've got the iron, the copper, the zinc, the calcium, the manganese, the magnesium, all the right isotopes of all of those minerals, all getting into your system out of that glass of water. You've got all the right vitamins. And the point being is that there is a right and a wrong vitamin. You can have vitamins that are basically artificially prepared and of no value.
Exactly.
No value to you. In fact, in some cases, they may be harmful to you. You can certainly have minerals that are in the wrong isotopic form, and they're actually metals. And they can be poisonous to you. They can. Iron is probably a good example where people take iron as a supplement, and they can't hold it down. They throw it up because it's the wrong isotope.
Yep.
And so all of this is a matter of understanding the energetic reality of the body. And one thing I'll throw in here is a matter of interest. A plant or a vegetable or a fruit cannot pick up a wrong mineral. The DNA will not allow them to pick up the wrong isotope. So if your minerals and your vitamins are derived from food sources, they will be correct.
Well, and that just supports everything that naturopathic medicine has been saying for centuries. So that's quite quite interesting to me, because I deal with all these different energetic substances and, you know, methods of getting this stuff into people. So so it makes perfectly good sense. What I wanted to ask you, too, is if someone has a radionics setup, could they then dial in the numbers from your manual, and that would work as good as somebody saying the numbers to themselves?
I don't know that, and I would really love to have an opportunity to work with somebody that has radionics and to see whether the numbers are comparable. I can tell you that I did have, and I think I still have somewhere, a lot of the numbers that Rife developed that put through his machine. Now, when you did his numbers individually by the method that I use, they were ineffective.
Right,
I'm not saying
Rife
they were ineffective
only
through his machine, but they were ineffective through reciting them.
Right, that's because Rife's frequencies were only for his machine, and they only worked on the kind of on vibrating the bacteria and the viruses out of existence, kind of vibrating them until they exploded. That's
right.
More of a gross type of a thing. I think what you're talking about is a finer energetic thing, or higher dimensional thing. And by the way, I have a really nice radionics setup. It's state of the art. It works fabulously. So I'll work with you with that, Lloyd. That's no problem.
Yeah, well, I have no reason to think that it would or wouldn't. I really don't know.
Well, let's try it out.
I do know you can take the numbers. Let's assume that you have a series of numbers you're doing, and you can recite them by just reading them over and over again. That's one way. You can also take and line them up correctly and put your left hand on them, the palm of your left hand, and they will feed up through the palm of your left hand into your body. Now, it's important that it's done with the left side, because the left side of your body is your receiving side. The right side is your discharging side.
Sure.
You can also take and put the numbers into water, and you can then drink the water. And we had a good demonstration of the balance, the ability of water to have a memory from a doctor out of Japan.
Masaru Emoto.
I mean, his whole theory was based on intention into water. And you can write love on the bottle if you like, and you're going to get a crystalline consequence, where you could write hate perhaps, and it would make when you froze it, it would make a totally different visual. But it's basically what I do, and when he came along, I had been doing this work a number of years before he came along, but he really helped for me to sell the concept I was working under, because basically, although he wasn't dealing specifically with numbers, he was dealing with the concept of water has a memory, and you can implant that memory into water by a number of different ways. And so what we did made sense to most people from that point on, so I thank him.
There is a very good book on the memory of water by Michael Schiff, a Frenchman, written in 1993, that discusses homeopathy and the work of Jean Benaviste, a French homeopathist. And it's definitely seems to support the discussion we're having here today.
You know, if you ever read the book, he was a doctor, and he was in a prison, and I believe he was perhaps in Turkey. Can't remember for sure, and I don't remember his name. But anyway, he basically treated the prisoner inmates that were in there with him with water. And the fact is that he got them well. But he basically had intention. And if he took that water in his right hand, and basically, without knowing it or not knowing it, and placed the intention in the water that he wanted it to do, he may very well have energized the water with his intention to be able to help the person that consumed the water.
You know, Dr. Emoto and I had a discussion about that. I had him on, I had two radio shows at the time. I had him on both. And one of the things that I asked him was, if it's working through the hyperspace, through the microtubules in the cells, and he said that's exactly how it works, which, by the way, is the same way that our intuition works, all of our psychic connection, our connection to everything in the creation, and that's how homeopathy works. So it goes all the way down into every cell in our bodies and every cell in every living organism throughout the creation through these microtubules, and it actually transfers it into hyperspace. And that hyperspace connection is what transfers the intention then to the person or the plant or, you know, however you're going to use it, the animal, whatever.
Right.
So this stuff, you know, I think we're gaining a better understanding of how this stuff actually works. And it's we'll have to have some more discussions on this. We're going to be out of time in a few minutes. Lloyd, if you would give out your contact information if you want to, so people can reach you for some help.
Manual. It's a three-prong attack, and any one of them stands on its own. But the one thing I do is I do sessions over the telephone. It takes about three-quarters of an hour to an hour to do. And we go through the whole manual, and I check you out and give you numbers to rectify your imbalances as we go along, so you come out at the end of the session in balance. Mm-hmm. And we charge $65 for that particular session, and you have a call back in 2 weeks, and I check you out to see how you've done and make any adjustments if there's still something obvious. And basically, there's no charge for the recall. I basically have a manual that we've created and continue to create, and it basically is updated about every 6 months, and the updates are available to be sent out and added to the manual. It's now 138 pages. It's a three-ring binder, and it's got plastic liners in it, and the pages can slide in or out, so you can highlight various numbers that you feel that you need that work for you. So it's easy, very workable and very handy, and we charge $106.50 for that, primarily by the fact of the freight. And we pay the freight on both items. And the third item is that we have a water product that is made up of energy, but it's all mathematics. It's in the water. There's nothing material in it whatsoever. It's just basically water with a memory, and it basically has all the mathematical breakdown for all the minerals, vitamins, salts, sugars, and everything that the body needs as a basic. And you drink a glass or two of that a day, and that supplies you with your basic needs. And if you're not getting them in your food, you'll be getting them in your water. Now, as you drink the water every day and you draw your bottle down, and there are 2-liter bottles, there's two of them, and you drink from one for 1 week, you switch to the next week, and you go back and forth. There is multi people in the family drinking, then one's on one bottle while the other one's on the other, and you switch back and forth. As you take your water out daily, you put water back in daily, and you put in quality water that is basically chlorine-free. And if you have a good system on your tap that basically takes out the chlorine, then fine, your water is adequate. And you keep your bottle full, and the energy that's in the bottle recharges that you've taken out every day and placed back in. And as long as you keep doing that, at the end of each week, we make you a 108 frequency. That basically gives you an ability to pass on energy from your body, and we show you what number to read and make you a 108. And at the end of the week, you put your right hand on the bottle, making sure it's full, and you'd say raise and stabilize the potential to 35, 40,000 in that range. And you do that three times, and that brings the potential right back up to brand new again. And so it's all so simple, but it works. And then by recharging your bottle every week, your water will last you 6 or 8 months.
Okay, awesome. What's your contact number?
And the water part of me, it delivered to your doorstep, is $80 for the two bottles. My contact number is 760-362-4679.
Okay, and do you have a website?
We do accept credit cards. No, we stay away from websites, because everything we want to say, we probably could get ourselves into trouble.
Yep, unfortunately. Okay, so I've got your contact number listed there for people. It's on the Fast Chat, listeners, if you're interested. You can also drop me an email, and I'll send you Lloyd's number as well. And fascinating chat. We have to have some more chats, the three of us.
Well, Dr. Lenny, I don't profess to have all the answers. I just really emphasize that I'm gifted, I believe, to the point that I'm able to douse and basically contact the energy belt. And there's some interesting things, if I've got another second or two, that when a child is in the development stage, in the fetal stage, it will draw energy out of the universe. It will draw out promethium, it will draw out hydrogen-2, it'll draw out technetium, and it'll draw out hydrogen-3. Now, hydrogen-2 is deuterium, hydrogen-3 is tritium. And these are energies that come in the development of the fetus at a certain stage. Now, if the hydrogen-2 is basically shorted and you don't get enough of it, it leads to autism. All autisms are short of hydrogen-2 in the fetal stage. And it isn't until they get into the ingestion of food along the normal food line, and they're off of the child baby food type of thing, that their autism starts to come in. But it's all to do, in my opinion, with a deficiency of hydrogen-2 in the fetal development stage.
Interesting. You know, there's a hydrogen wind chime that Dr. Fred Bell had made that brings in the hydrogen-2. And Patrick Flanagan also has a thing he calls microhydrin, that brings in hydrogen that crosses the blood-brain barrier. So very, very interesting. Maybe the combination of those two things.
Probably was hydrogen-3 is the oldest energy on Earth. Mm-hmm. And hydrogen-2 probably was implanted in the Earth by a large meteorite or an intrusion of some object from outer space. And from that point on, life started to develop, because I do believe that hydrogen-2 is the ingredient of life on Earth.
Yeah,
without that, we probably
wouldn't
have life.
You're supported by that. You know, we have to go. We're going to get the hook here. We're going to get yanked off. So thank you so much for being on, both of you.
Okay. Thank you, Matt, for having me and taking an interest in what we're all doing. And I look forward to talking to you in the future. And anybody that needs some help or is interested can call me anytime.
Awesome.
Good night, everybody, and thank you.
Thank you for being on. Thank you, Dr. Lenny, for co-hosting and asking those vital questions. And we'll do some more.
Okay. Look forward to it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And as usual, the show has been brought to you by starlights.com and alternativecancer.us. And until next week, listeners, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.